The first round is on Owen's Recovery Science. Owen's Recovery Science is a single source
for PTs,
OTs,
ATCs,
DCs,
and other medical professionals
seeking certification
in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Find out more and get certified
at owensrecoveryscience.com. All right, in this episode with Roger Hurd, the APTA Board of Directors Secretary, we find out what the Secretary does on the APTA's Board of Directors, what's on the horizon for the American Physical Therapy Association, and Roger reminds us to meet people where they are and not where we expect them to be. This is your first pour from Owen's Recovery Science. Spring is in the air, and it's the season for growth and new experiences in your career. Explore the country with rewarding travel assignments through Arias Medical Group. Know a PT? Make a referral and earn up to $1,000. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's AURUSmedical.com.
This is the PT Pinecast. Podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pinecast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. The next episode of the PT Pinecast starts right now, live from the APTA Media Center here in Boston for APTA's next conference. I am joined now by another member of the APTA board, Roger Hurd. Roger, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I want to talk a little bit about what you do on the board, but first, where are you from?
I live in New York.
Yeah? What part?
New York City.
I'm a New York kid, so we
really?
Have that. Yeah, born in the Bronx. Dad was a New York City firefighter, so I saw New York, on your bio. I was like, all right, I'm talking to another New Yorker. But where are you from originally? You're originally from New York?
I was born in New York, but my life took me to Pennsylvania from my childhood, and then I got to practice 10 years on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So that influenced me a lot, actually.
Yeah, you got a little bit of both. That's the two ends of the spectrum for the U.S. anyway, right? You know, East Coast and you got West Coast. What do you like about New York that you don't get in California and vice versa?
What I love about New York is the pace. I can pick up and do anything, any hour. But I also know how to disengage, which is important because some people don't. And that just is a struggle in life then.
You remember that song in the night? Remember Baz Luhrmann? The song was Everybody's Free to Rest. He said, live in New York once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in L.A. once, leave before it makes you soft. Because a lot of times as New Yorkers, I know, like, you can't disconnect and you should. And sometimes you need to move a little faster. Like if you go anywhere else and you're a New Yorker, everybody walks too slow.
Right.
Too much of one thing isn't necessarily a great thing.
No, I had that opportunity to leave New York before I was burned out. I actually, that was a life lesson that someone gave me. But yeah, the time on the West Coast was great because the first cultural change was, what do you do on the West Coast is, what do you do for fun?
Oh.
On the East Coast is, what do you do? Where do you work? Who do you work for? It's all like strategy about moving up in the system. On the West Coast, it's like, I care less about what you do for work.
Yeah.
I want to go climb with you or bike
surf
with you or hike.
Steve.
Yeah.
So Secretary on the APTA's Board of Directors. So let's talk about big picture and then your specific picture. What do you say to people who say, what's the board do for me as a member?
As a board member, I represent and we deliberate on different issues, but as a member, I need to think about how this impacts everyone. But obviously my lens, I'm one of 15 people.
Yeah.
And so as a board member, we're really there to challenge each other and not, while we may come to a decision that we support, we need to vet it and dialogue it, but also support a decision when we make it to not be split or not be fractioned, because one voice is important, but obviously it needs to be debated, considered, challenged, maybe changed. And sometimes one person can change that opinion. Sometimes everyone agrees on it. Not everything's unanimous, but you need to agree just like you do in your family or at any place. Hey, this is what we're committing to. Otherwise, we're going to be stalling and deliberating and ineffective.
And then nothing's going to get done. But you want something to get done. So you guys are really steering the ship. And that's, you know, that's kind of how I explain to people what the board does. I'm like, we're a big ship and you guys are steering it. We want to make sure that we're going in the right direction, that these varied 15 voices have decided, yes, this is the way we should go, and here's how we should get there. What do you do specifically, because you're on the board as the secretary? So what is the secretary's role on the board? Because the more people I talk to on the board and explain to the audience what the board does, I think I get just a little bit of a better view, but I don't know if everybody ever understands the whole picture.
Yeah, thank you for that opportunity, because people see me visually on the dais of the House of Delegates, but that's only 400 and some members.
Yeah.
So very visible there, facilitating the work of our deliberative body that meets once a year.
And that's here, that was here at Next,
that was
previous to Next.
Right. And it's also facilitating the conversation so the right people have the conversation, connecting them when they're thinking of a motion concept to support the House. While I support those in the formative times, and then also working with a reference committee, hey, this is who you should consider. Is your language expressing your intent? Because people have great ideas, they don't know how to find the right words. And that's important to some people, the right words, but the intent is critical because you need to find the right words to meet that intent, and does that speak for the profession, and do people believe that's the way we go?
Yeah.
So it all builds on each other. My job is to connect those resources as a secretary. I'm a liaison to reference committee, I'm on the board, but we work for the House.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, you're talking about people will want something to happen, but maybe don't use the right words. Using the wrong words with the right intention can get you not the thing that you wanted. So to being able to have someone like the secretary, their job, step back and say, I think I understand what you're intending, but that's not necessarily what I'm hearing or what you're saying. Let's make sure that is fixed before it comes out.
And another piece of it is people bring good ideas, but may not know that someone's already working on it or where activities have happened. So learn from that. Hey, this worked in the past. It didn't work. Is now the right time for it?
Yeah.
Can you build upon existing work? Do you need to bring it as a policy, or is it a work group or some other activity? Maybe a chapter or section's already working on that area. Maybe that's the focus it should go.
Yeah, don't be redundant, because if someone's putting a lot of effort for it, maybe you can help them, but you don't need to do the exact same thing somewhere else and waste some time. What are some things, we talked to Lisa Sladen just a few moments ago, what are some things that are on the horizon that are really exciting you, maybe down the line with the APTA, something you could talk about?
I love getting things in order. So it's not sexy. I'm not the new researcher. I'm not the new pushing the limits on things, but let's making sure, one thing we discussed at this meeting was our bylaws. What are our bylaws? Most members don't know our bylaws. Most members don't use them to read them. A few policy geeks do, because they're really into that. But to me, our bylaws are kind of like the foundation of our house. And sometimes when you rebuild a house, you strip it down to the studs. Sometimes you just go buy a new property.
Yeah.
So what do you need to do for our bylaws? And really looking at that, because you can paint the walls a different color, but they're the same walls. You can move or buy new furniture, but it's the same room. So our bylaws are kind of like that foundational structure. And then our policies and our activities are all the different things that we do to modify time and day-to-day activities. But to me, the bylaws are those foundations upon which everything else is built.
Yeah.
So if we don't have good bylaws and are not clear to people, then that gets confusing, gets in our way of doing business, and members don't know how we work. And then that's not a good association.
Well, you say you started by saying, well, I'm not the edgy this, I'm not the new researcher. People like to, they're drawn to that, a moth to a flame. What's the new sexy thing in research? What's the new thing? But one of the things the APTA does is make sure we're protected. Do I like to read bylaws? No. Am I glad they're there? Am I glad somebody knows what those things mean and are protecting me? Yes. And that's one value the APTA does, is someone's watching you even if you don't know it.
Right. And so that's our role as a board, is to be good shepherds of that. Good shepherds of our organization, and then the House deals with the bylaws. But as board members, we need to be good shepherds of our finances and our budget, et cetera, to support the organization and the members. And people need to trust that. And most do. Mm-hmm. But when there's inquiry or questions, we need to have clear ways of understanding that. And sometimes our bylaws are a little Byzantine, a little confusing, a lot of little details, and it's not easy to interpret. So we need to find ways of making that simple, because it does speak to our culture.
Yeah, I like that.
We gotta go pay some student loans. We'll be right back.
Rock Tape, more than just a tape company. Rock Tape keeps athletes of all levels moving stronger, longer.
With the world's best kinesiology tape,
topical pain relief,
mobility equipment,
and protective gear.
And now physical therapists can get 20% off their first purchase right now at shop.rocktape.com.
Just use the code PTPinecast at checkout to get 20% off.
That's shop.rocktape.com.
With the code PTPinecast for killer savings of 20% off.
Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. New York, Pennsylvania, California too.
Yeah, but I had an 8-year stop in Seattle.
In Seattle, too. So you've been all over. So our sponsor, want to say thanks to Aureus Medical, who helped us get you your pint glass. They bring me out to all these conferences. They get PT's jobs. That's what this company does. They find PT's positions anywhere in the U.S. If you want to check them out, if you're looking for a job, AureusMedical.com. Three questions I ask every guest brought to you by Aureus. The first one, if you could live and be a PT anywhere in the U.S., where would you want to do it for a travel assignment, which is about 13 weeks? Where would you want to go?
I think I'd like to go into rural health.
Yeah.
Only because I think it really challenges the individual to find the resources. I mean, there's some amazing medical centers and institutions that I've had the opportunity to work with, but to be in a rural area and influence people with limited resources at times, I find that really tests me, and
you're
I like
it.
That test.
You're it sometimes as a PT in rural health. Second question on three questions. What's something you read that really inspired you?
I've been really following the quality literature recently, okay. So it's been more learning about what other professions and what other groups are doing in healthcare. Yeah, the Institute for Healthcare Improvement and the work they've done. The things that I like to follow are, how does that influence us and where are we fitting in the healthcare picture? And experience literature is what I'm looking at now. How do we measure experience? How do we influence it? What can it tell us about our practice? So that's the area I'm exploring. And I think our vision, you know, has led us to really beginning to explore that and not be the authority on care, but partner with our patients on
our
care.
All right. Third question is, who's someone within the field of physical therapy that the audience should know more about?
Well, Mike Eisenhart from New Jersey, but a lot of people are following him.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of people that outside of PT that need to learn about what he's doing, his approach to care. I think a lot of us see the aha that he's doing, but how many of us are doing it in our own way, in our own world, within the profession, and how many other people see us as that partner opportunity on the outside?
Yeah.
And he's bridged that gap.
Yep.
He's been on both sides of that, and he sees those perspectives. And some of us can see the other side, but have not been there. And I think it's a different experience when you look back from that perspective.
Yeah, a lot of people like and will share some stuff he's doing online, but you've got to take it offline. You've got to do it. You've got to put it into play, and the things that Mike's doing with, you know, healthcare, preventative health, healthcare 2.0, really right. Lisa Sladen just said the exact same thing, so it's great that Mike Eisenhart's getting lots of love here at Next in Boston. You're off the hot seat for three questions, but last thing I wanted to ask you is a question I'm asking a lot of people. Why are you an APTA member? How would you answer that if you bumped into a student at a networking event here and they weren't a member yet, and they'd say, why are you an APTA member? What do you get out of it?
The connectivity. And the resources. I got very active when I joined the home health practice setting after I left a large medical center, because I didn't have 60, 70 PTs in New York City near me. I had myself going into apartments. I needed those resources, so that's where the section really helped me. But then I started learning about getting involved in leadership, and I got leadership development and skills and mentorship. And then I started getting into health policy and regulatory, and I got on the Hill and found out I really enjoyed that activity on a state and a federal level. And it gave me a chance to grow within the organization, but doing totally different things in each path of my career. And now working in quality, I've been connected to a whole bunch of PTs that I never knew were PTs, but in the quality world, they don't have their PT name behind them. And all of a sudden, we have the same background, and we're a network there. So it's allowed me to go beyond PT and realize that we can be influential.
And that's what we want to do. We want to go beyond this thing. We want to go beyond the walls of this conference and really make sure this message spreads. Last thing we do every episode that we record is a pint, but before we're done with pints, we do shots.
This is the parting shot.
Powered by Optum Fellowship, Optum is solely focused on clinical decision-making and approaches that make sense, offering a COMT, Certificate in Manual Therapy, as well as an APTA-accredited fellowship in Orthopedic Manual Therapy, offering both online and in-person mentoring with locations in Houston, Dallas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Find out more online at optumfellowship.com.
What's one little nugget that you'd want the audience to take with them as they go forth and they leave this conference and go back to start treating patients on Monday?
I think we have a lot of knowledge. So one piece of wisdom, a pearl someone gave me one time, was meet people where they are, not where you expect them to be. It's our job, our skill set, and our profession to help them get where they want to be or where their potential is. But sometimes we need to meet them where they are.
I like it. Roger Herr, appreciate your time. Thank you very much for taking time. Conferences are busy, so a little bit of time to drop some knowledge is always appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pintcast CEO Jimmy McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.